Matthew 11 and 28. Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 25, the same book, chapter 25, reading verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. One could not imagine a more wonderful invitation than that which was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11 and 28. And if there is in our meeting tonight a weary, burdened sinner who'd really like to be saved, I trust that you will allow this wonderful invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to sink down into your heart tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You could not imagine a more wonderful invitation. But my friend, you could not imagine a more solemn sentence than that which fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ as he spoke prophetically in Matthew 25 and 41. Words that will ring in the heart of every Christ rejecter for the ages of eternity. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who had so faithfully proclaimed the good news of the gospel, who had gone from city to city and had particularly labored in the cities of Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida, and after all the wonderful messages of love, in spite of all the wonderful, miraculous acts of mercy that he had performed among them, there were those then, as there are those today, who rejected the gospel invitation, those who repented not. Speaking of those cities, he said, Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for thee. Then to Capernaum, the city of his coming, for Bethlehem was the city of his birth, Nazareth was the city of his upbringing, but Capernaum was the city of his coming. He said, Thou Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty work, it was then indeed been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day, knowing, my friend, that there is nothing so hardening, there is nothing so guilty in the sight of God, there is nothing that so fits men and women for eternal wrath and judgment than the willful and deliberate rejection of the loving invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then at the close of the chapter, turning away with uncowered spirit from those who rejected him, he could look upward first of all to heaven and say, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto thee. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good into thine, good in thy sight. Who were the babes? It was not that they were infants, or even little children. It was there were among them hardened fishermen, like people that been. There were those who had been shrewd moneylenders, like Matthew, like Levi. But those men had taken the place of little babes, little children before him. Or had he not said on one occasion, Except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And these, dear men, have humbled themselves as little children, as every soul who is saved in this meeting has come, as every person who is unsaved must do before they will ever receive the passport to eternal glory. You will have, my friend, to throw your own thoughts to the wind. Humble yourself and believe, like a little child, the word of the Lord concerning you as a sinner. Believe, like a little child, the wondrous message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and come just as you are. This wonderful invitation is a worldwide one, and yet there are two classes that are specially addressed. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. And then he said, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I want to say, my friend, that there is nothing more wonderful than the rest and peace that comes to a burdened sinner when they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are many burdens in the world today, or this world certainly is a world of sorrow as well as of sin. And there are various kinds of burdens. There is, for instance, the burden of death that has crushed some men so that it broke their spirit. And perhaps by a turn of the wheel of fortune, a man who had been a wealthy businessman, depression or an unfortunate investment comes, and that man loses all his money. Sometimes he can't face it, and he blows his dreams out as he thinks of the burden of debt that he can never get relief from, in case he can never pay. There are others, and they are under a burden of ill health. They look forward after physicians have done their all to them, and they say there's no hope, I'll never be any better, I'm going to get worse in this condition, until at last I pass away the burden of ill health. There's the burdens of trials, and many a person has been crushed with a crushing burden of trial. We sometimes tell of the women down in the south, a company of them that were talking together over their troubles. One was telling hers and another encountering with some of their troubles. And by and by they noticed a sad-faced little woman in black that hadn't spoken. And so they said, we haven't heard from you, stranger. A lady, what troubles did you have?
That lady, you don't know anything about trouble. You don't know anything about trouble.
As I remember, when I was a happy wife, a mother, then our farm in the country, everything apparently prospered. Then there was a most unprecedented high status in the Pacific. It rose higher and higher. We thought we were high enough. But by and by, it impressed upon my husband that we were in danger, and we thought we had better flee for a high ground. But we said, by the time we had got started, the current was swift and the water already up to our knees. But she said, taking the baby in my arms and supported by my husband, she took me to the higher ground. And I watched anxiously as he plunged back into the flood. And by and by I saw him emerging then with the other two children. Up he said, with amazing rapidity, the flood was rising. And by and by I saw him take of my husband's efforts, one child wept from him, and then another wept from him, and then finally my husband couldn't make it, and I saw him swept to his death. He said, lady, that's not funny. He said, that baby I held in my arms, I did everything else before that child tried to raise his life. But that boy grew up, he became rebellious, became a prodigal, and finally ran away from him. Recently I've got word that he has been arrested for murder, and he said, I expect he's going to hang the electric chair. He said, maybe that trouble that made him happy there. I just send it to the world of God, and I want to tell him to be where I'm converted. You have a burden, and it's the most tremendous burden of all, and that is the burden of sin. Those of you who are young people, you don't realize that burden now. For the hopefulness and buoyancy of youth, you're looking forward to years and years and years of pleasure and fun and amusement and sin. But my dear friend, there is a burden upon you
And in heaven, records every sin you have ever committed, young person, and those of you who have come to maturity, young man, young woman, middle age, your sins have been piling up against you in heaven's ledger. The old hymn took to the old account was large, and growing every day, for I was always sinning, and never trying to be. My dear friend, it is a terrible thing to be going on with a soul unsaved, with sins unforgiven, and with that burden growing, 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 until at last, if you live and die without a Savior, that burden is going to crush you deeper down than Siren, Sidon, down into hell and the lake of fire forever. Maybe there are some of you, as you say, but that's not me. I'm not a careless sinner, and I want to be saved. In fact, I've always tried to live a decent life, and right now, I'm thinking I ought to do something about it. What have you been trying to do? Maybe you've been saying your prayers. You say, perhaps, if I join the church, or do something like a young woman a few months ago. Her father had been saved, and she came out and listened for the first time to the gospel of the grace of God. At the close of the meeting, I went up and spoke to her, and asked her if she was going to heaven. Oh, yes, she said, I believe I'm going to heaven all right. But then I said, what is your trouble? Well, she said, you know, my father didn't tell me very much about him. I'd heard before he'd been a drinker, pleasure lover, going in for the world in every form. He was a religious girl, the only religious girl of the family. But she said, since my father came to this church, she said, I can see such a tremendous change in him because he's not saved. She said, now I want to join the gospel hall, the place that has made such a change in my father. I said, my dear girl, if you were to join the gospel hall, as you say, you would not be one step nearer heaven. Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Have you ever been born again? Well, no, she said, I haven't. And so we had to open the word of God into her. And instead of being a religious girl on the way to hell, that since she had never been born again, she had not a ray of hope of ever entering heaven. And God convicted the dear young woman so she couldn't speak. And the next night alone, she trusted Christ as her Savior. But she thought it would be purely doing a good thing that would please God to join the church if she put it and had made such a change in her father. No, my friend, if it were possible for you to join every Orthodox denomination in the town or country, yet unless you're born again, you'll never be in heaven. Unless there has been that definite experience, when under the burden of loaded sin, you have come to that blessed Savior and trusted in him. To you who are laboring, who are like those we read of in the book of Lamentations, who are finally to confess, we labor, but we have no rest. My friend, you will never, never know that most wonderful of all rest, the rest of sins forgiven and peace with God until you obey this invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. While this is a universal call, especially my friend, to you tonight, if you feel the burden of your sins, if you realize that you can do nothing to save yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How could even that wonderful Savior give rest from that tremendous burden of sin? Only, my friend, because upon that little cross, on Calvary, suffering, bleeding, dying alone, he's under that tremendous load of our sins. You remember John the Baptist pointed him out saying, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And on that little cross on Calvary, we read, to his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. But blessed be his name. He perfectly satisfied God. He endured the wrath, our sins of God. He shed his precious blood that alone cleansed us from sin. And now with extended arms of loving welcome, as if from the very cross of woe, he invites you to come just as you are. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, my friend, don't make this some wonderful work that you must do. All God is asking you is to drop the arms of rebellion and just come as you are. Some of you are young here. Take it in while you are young. 2 weeks ago, I think tonight or tomorrow night, young child, just 13 years of age, going out to the meeting, who said was a harlot, so brightly up into my face, and she said, Mr. Joy, I got saved in the meeting tonight. I said, how did you get saved? She said, well, you said that Jesus said, come unto me. She said, I got saved, I'm saved. The old man followed up the post and said, I think that the change in that to be a child in the world, 13 years of age. All the people that have been saved us, said, can you come unto me? Oh, ye that believe us, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, the certain, oh, you say, but I don't know how to come. I don't know how to come. Have we not been staying together? Remind me of our dear brother Jim Perry, who, in last summer in the prairie, he was telling us then, talking to the prairie, but he knows me. The Scotsman there said, I want to tell you how God saved me. He said, I had a little girl, I was very fond of her. And he said, my wife went out, and I was looking after her, took her up there through her bedroom, but she wanted to play. The place she went to see them, she said, Daddy, he said, we'll play school. A little dear girl who, from her father, was fairly bad in the sea. He was troubled about his soul, but he didn't know how to be saved. He was, of course, following on with his little job that was a name came to be to her next lesson. Now she says, Daddy, you say this after me, and you'll get full marks. And she began with a word, you are just as I am. The dear troubled father started out, just as I am. Little girl said, without one plea, now say, Daddy, and you'll get your mark. The king said, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. The father followed, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou didst me come to thee, and you got out that fire, and that thou didst me come to thee. Little girl said, O Lamb of God, I come. Big lump rose in the father's throat, and he stopped. He said, come on, encourage me. Come on, Daddy, you say it and you'll get through, Mom. He said, I said. He said, Daddy, it's so easy to say, O Lamb of God, I come. Just then, with an awful lot of doors, he looked down stairs at his wife and said, he took one look at her agitated husband. She said, what's the matter? He said, you can't do anything without me now. He went back up there, down on his knees to sign it. His little child, his heart helped him, lived him from the Lord of his sins, and came from his heart from the first time in reality, to cry, O Lamb of God, I come. And this is that license of the blessed, pleading time, Lamb of Calvary. Oh, dear unstained one tonight, with that burden, Lord of sin, will you come as you are? Be assured of a royal welcome from the one who has never turned an honest sinner away. Did ever saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one, no, not one. All sinner come, and he would not take him. No, not one, no, not one. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, dear unstained one, you have everything to gain tonight, and nothing to lose but your sins by coming just as you are. For Christ is your Savior. You receive him, he'll receive you, and who will be one with him forever. Dear unstained one, we come to the close of another country. My heart started with you as you were the past, in this conference, as well as the meetings that have just been in the past, and this salvation. Perhaps go from this conference never, never, never again. Hear the sweet invitation of the Lord Jesus. My friend, death may cut you down to be reminded of that. God's gracious Spirit is dealing now with you. He may take his wrath at that heart door of yours. The blessed Savior may give to you tonight the last invitation. If you still it all with you, and all its wondrous love of you, he will be from you sadly turned. Your bitter prayer for pardon, and he will made for Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Then continually to go from earth to hell, from hell to the judgment room, to stand with all your sins floating around you as a crushing burden. I need to hear that last, dread, eternal sentence. Depart from me, you precious. Depart, O sinner, to thy sin. Enter the eternal cell, to all that's good and true and right, to all that's fond and fair and bright. Dissolve thy last, dear well. Depart from me, you precious. Into fire prepared for the very angels, and from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the loved ones who were written upon the chain, you have down, never, never, never again to hear the sweet invitation coming to me, to the blasting, withering touch of the Almighty Judge upon your lost soul, to down, down to the everlasting down. May God keep to your heart tonight. May God grant that you may not rest in sleep for your body, for your trust. Christ in your soul. Amen.